yesterday we were a thong because it was just Grant and I. Yep. We just each had a leg, you know, in and
yeah.
thin strip of material separating. But today, three of us are back in the good old granny panty.
Yeah, our bikini. Control. If all else fails, we're bikini cut or maybe cheeky.
Yeah. But it's Thursday. Granny panties on. There's a lot to talk about. Let's be comfortable.
Let's rock our granny panties. Maybe even a boy short that could be also just a short at this point.
I remember I bought some J-Lo when she toured with Enrique Iglesias. And I happen to go because I will go to every concert that's got, you know, a good double, triple bill.
Let's be honest. You'll go to every concert.
I know. So, but she was selling little booty shorts that said dance off. And I think she was on, you know, that So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah.
Still have those little booty shorts. And I wonder what happened to them. Has my butt gotten bigger? Have those things shrunk?
You know,
they look like they could fit your daughter.
Well, depends on diaper or not. But I have short shorts and I'm always kind of laughing. I used to wear out and about in my 20s. And now I'm like, it's time to get rid of these. Mm-hmm. They look like underwear on me.
Yeah.
I don't really have a place for them.
You're right.
Because even like around the house, no.
You're like, no.
They're not comfy.
No. And you can't really, no one appreciates if you sit cross-legged.
No. God,
or
no.
Maybe they do. But
I
was married once to a guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And there was a family member who was very fond of crisscross applesauce sitting and also really loved to wear sort of baggy-ish shorts, and you had to like avert your eyes so hard because it was like, gosh, didn't anyone ever teach you how to sit in a chair?
As a man?
A woman.
Or a woman.
Oh, no. I mean, I have seen old man balls from cross-legged. I mean, anytime I've ever been at a cabin, if there's somebody older and they wear their big loose shorts and it's hot and everything is, you know, thus the leg flick.
Oh.
That's how you know when a guy wears boxers. Do you know that?
No, tell me about the men.
The shake.
The shake. A guy will get up and if he just does a little kind of
a shimmy,
he's kind of like sticking.
Okay.
And then if he's wearing, you know, a tidy whitey or a boxer brief, you're not having the shake him by the baggy situation.
Oh, my God.
I love you.
I'm horrified.
So the fact you that you know it that? So well is just amazing. I love it.
You know, time. The age, the number of men in my life.
I've got it.
I'll never be the same at the cabin. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next time you see a shimmy, you'll know.
Oh, yeah. Die.
So we were at bowling last night.
Oh.
Firmly in last place. Not even a hope or a prayer of, you know, crawling out of the basement. We're just going to be fine. And then, we'll add it all up and maybe we'll come in second to last for the whole three, because it's a third and a third and a third, like your tennis.
Yep.
So we didn't play with our sexy man cards. We played with funny saying cards.
Okay.
And we were having a... They were making us laugh because, like, we bowled one good game together as a team, and then we just individually just, like, went off and did our own bowling thing.
Yeah.
But had a fun team. But anyway, so, like, here's one of the questions that was on one of the cards, and I'm wondering if you think this was what people said. Oh, yeah, this card is totally you. My favorite workout is running my mouth.
They said that was you or me?
Yeah, that's me.
That's totally you. I thought you were saying it was me, and I was like, well, also true.
Yeah.
But that's you. That's that's the epitome of lady exercise.
Lady exercise. And then this was a question. We wondered about it. If you spiral out of control, can you spiral back into control?
Oh, no.
Question for your therapist is what I told the group.
No, it's a very strategic game plan getting back in control. Yeah, there's not like I accidentally fell right back into the right place.
Yeah. Now, this one, both April, Danielle, and myself felt that we could have this as a bumper sticker should we live in a state where there were a lot of Cactus. I'm no cactus expert, but I know a prick when I see one.
That is right.
That is very accurate.
Right, isn't that true?
100%.
Oh my gosh. And then the last, this one. Do memory foam mattresses wish they could forget?
I believe they, yeah.
Yes, they do.
Every night they say, God, I will, or every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning.
Have you ever slept in your guest bedroom bed?
Yes.
Yeah. People should do that. If you haven't done that in a while, I used to beg my dad, sleep in that terrible bed you make all of us sleep in. He goes, there's nothing wrong with that bed. We've had it since 1982. And I'm like, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's 2018, Dad.
that's the one nice like thing yeah. about marrying older. Like when me and Justin were both older, we both had really nice mattresses. And then we bought one together. So both our guest bedrooms
have pimp mattresses.
Yeah, and we both like which our old one was in. So I always sleep in, like, if Justin's snoring, I'll go to my old bed and he'll go to his old bed if, like, he's working late or something.
I had that epiphany a couple years ago. I hadn't slept in our guest, you know, what was Casey's daughter's bedroom.
Yeah.
And I a couple years ago, I'm like, I need to sleep in that damn bed. Holy crap. I was guilty of what my dad was guilty of.
So did you?
Oh, I bought a new mattress.
Well, that's amazing.
With a foam memory.
Yes.
A mattress with a memory.
Do you go to bed before Casey?
No, we go to bed.
Together. Huh? Nice.
You're so annoying. You're so annoying.
That's a hard thing to do.
You are, because you and Casey are such couples goal. And of course the answer was we go to bed at the same time.
Unless, you know, he had like a 4-hour sleep night and he got up at 4 in the morning and then, you know, he sits on like a medicine ball because it doesn't hurt his back sometimes. And I've actually seen him fall asleep sitting upright on a medicine ball at 7:30.
How does he balance?
Well, he's really good at balance and nodding.
Back. Yeah.
He's
The nod.
And so like if he's only had 4 hours of sleep, we're not going at the same time.
No.
He's fighting to stay awake.
I love the nod. Eight.
The nod on the ball.
The nod. Oh, when you know when you're nodding, it's just like it's going to be a good night's sleep.
And you wish you didn't have to get up to go somewhere to fall asleep. Can I just finish falling asleep?
That happened to me when I was putting Gogo to bed last night. I fell asleep while him and Justin and Gogo were reading, and I was sitting on the big chair in their room, and I fell asleep, and then it was only 7:30. So I was like, I have to stay up, but I was like, I wish I could just
go to bed.
Like, yes, absolutely.
All right. Listen, when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of, and it involves rose gold leather pants. That's all we're going to say.
As all things should.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You give us some good couch.
Time for Lori and Julia's.
Last night was wonderful.
Good couch.
Some good couch. Janelle, is it Janelle James from Abbott Elementary?
Yes.
The principal, she was on with Kimmel.
She's so funny.
Absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig joined Jimmy Fallon first on the couch, talking about Palm Royale. Also, she's hosting SNL, I think, this weekend for, she's going to be a fifth timer.
Wow.
And they had some funny stories. And then, Lenny Kravitz was the musical guest as well as the second guest of The Tonight Show. And I really felt that I'm like, there's no way Fallon is not going to bring up Zoe Kravitz roasting her dad at the Hollywood Walk of Fame last week. So here's just a little bit of that.
Your so cool daughter, Zoe Kravitz, we love, gave a speech and maybe even like a little roast. Maybe.
I thought it was quite appropriate.
We have a clip. Here's Zoe Kravitz at Lenny's Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony. Look at this.
I've seen the way you show up and take care of the people you love. I've seen your incredible dedication to your art. But mostly, I've seen through your shirts. According to my dad, if it doesn't expose your nipples, it's not a shirt. Your relationship with the netted shirt is probably your longest one, and it works.
Wow! I mean, come on! How you do it.
And he's sitting there and wearing what he's going to wear on stage, which is a black leather jacket.
Yeah.
And then no shirt
of
underneath,
course,
and then he's got a mesh bandana on that's in shades of gold, black, silver, and the rose gold that matches his pants. And then, of course, his big sunglasses.
Yeah.
And then he's got these rose gold leather fitted flare pants that are just amazing.
They're amazing. I need them.
I know. It's such a cool color. And then the like ostrich or python cowboy boot, you know.
Of course. That's the only thing that would go with this.
That would go with it. And so he performed. He's got a new album. I think it's coming out tomorrow. And, you know, Lenny's going to run into what Jennifer Lopez and Justin Timberlake, you know, where does somebody who's, you know, 50s fit into the pop culture, you know, landscape and radio airplay and everything. So we, Grant, thank you for posting his performance because you really, his rocker look is so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's just like, I mean, man, you can literally wear anything you want if you're hot and confident. Because he looks amazing in this outfit.
Yes, and rock, like I've always said, rock stars are really the only ones who never really, like, they never need to leave their quote-unquote job, their career.
No.
They can just come and go. I mean, that's truly the one thing that you can just go and go. And I guess acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. But here's a little of Lenny Kravitz debuting his new single. It's called Human. Poppy for Lenny.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't
kind of poppy.
It seems like a collab because it's so not usually.
Right. He wasn't playing the guitar and he had a fun band. And
yeah,
I've watched like sometimes I only will watch like maybe, I don't know, unless it's like Bleachers or somebody that I know really. I won't watch the whole song, you know,
I'll
just get a taste of it. But I was just like, I don't know, between the rose gold fitted flare pants.
You couldn't turn away.
I couldn't turn away.
Wow. And why would you?
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something scary.
Yeah.
He's quite the
man. I'd like to read his memoir that he came out with a couple years ago. It's just about the first 25 years of his life. And because he grew up in his, you know, black and white world, you know, because his mom is black and his dad was white and he had grandparents in Bed-Stuy and then also lived in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
You know, because his mom, that's where the Jeffersons was filmed. So he had this very, he's very having a leg always in very different kinds of world, but grew up also on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
With his dad. So
what a life.
Intriguing. Yeah. You so, should read his book and report back to us.
I should. I really should. But anyway, and then Kristen Wiig told a very hilarious story about an after hours party. Apparently, after SNL, there's an after hours party and then there's an after after.
Oh.
Party, because it's such an intense week of people staying up late, very little sleep, and then, you know, the high of the live show. And it's anyway, she just told a story about, you know, doing karaoke at an after after party and chipping her own tooth and not even realize she's just I've missed so seeing delightful. Her. I just she's like
so,
her.
She's so funny and beautiful, but it's always her funny is the thing you remember. Do they say that the after party is at SNL and then the after party is elsewhere? Or is
no,
it from
it's
the beginning.
Every you go, it's apartments. Offsite.
Yeah,
it's offsite. It's usually at like a bar, restaurant,
then
maybe,
an apartment or something,
or maybe a party. You know, there's all kinds of places after hours.
Yeah,
it sounds like a dream situation.
And Kristen's in the new Palm Royale, correct?
She's in the new Palm Royale, and according to the Hollywood Reporter, Ricky Martin is at the heart of the show.
He's stealing it, huh?
He is stealing
Good.
The show.
I and love hearing that.
If you remember, you know, Ricky has been on Broadway. He was in Les Mis and Evita. He was very good in Evita. He earned an Emmy nomination. He was in the Assassination of Johnny Versace, and he played Johnny Versace's lover in that. That was a Ryan Murphy 8-arc episode. And he got an Emmy nomination, and he's been in Glee, and he can act. So apparently he steals Palm Royale. He's so good. He's oozing so much sex appeal and also has all the scenes with Carol Burnett because he's like her butler.
Yeah.
And he's also the bartender at this very exclusive club.
Yeah. Oh. And you remember we also learned, too, that he wore a lot of...
No shirts.
Just a lot of... What were the spandex swimsuits, whatever they're called?
They're like what Ken wore.
Yes,
in the 60s.
Exactly.
They're boy trunks.
Yeah.
Slim trunks.
Yeah.
That are like our little baby boy short underwear we were talking about. And he also, as the series progresses, one of the things he said I liked, you know, even though it's a show that happens in the late 60s, every character is sharing their secrets, and there were still so many secrets being kept, anybody who was gay or anything, you know, it was 60, be quiet.
Yeah.
And so he said, for me to be able to play on behalf of that and just showing this guy's heart and vulnerability and all this, he said it was just really fun.
Cool.
Yeah, so I heard Jason teasing the show on his TV show today. He watched all three episodes because Apple
gives three or two.
Then it's once a week.
At least they give us a good chunk so you can binge, get the half
they
binge.
They get you hooked.
Yes.
They do.
Smart.
It's the gateway drug right there.
That's true. Apple does it right. They've got the programming. They've got the system.
Yeah.
They do it right when it comes to the streaming, for sure.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, anyway, so Lenny Kravitz, bless you in your rose gold leather pants, damn it.
That's right.
When we come back, an absolute legend in Hollywood is gone. And you might not know the name, but you're going to know the face. You're going to know the movies. We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody, it's Lori here for Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. Dr. Jarvis, Dr. Tholen, Dr. Singh, American Board Certified Plastic Surgeons. And one of the things that you get with Minneapolis Plastic Surgery is the experience not only of the doctors, but the whole team. I mean, Julie and I's experience in going there was, I mean... Some of the nurses have been there for 20 years. The kindness, the caring, the answering any and all questions if you're moving forward with the surgery. But more than anything, at like the first consultation, if you need to come in again and talk to her, they will do it. They are just the pros. You promise. You won't be happier. These are the guys. Go to mpsmn.com or just Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. And remember, the first consultation is at no charge. And that's Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. Thanks for hanging out with us. When I got up this morning, Casey's like, you're going to want to, you know, he always does a little reading of the Washington Post for me and alerts me to possible stories for the program.
Of course.
Producer, as you should program. He goes, you're going to want to read Emmett Walsh's obituary. I said, is that the Blood Simple actor? And he said, yeah. He said, well, first you're going to know who he is as soon as you see some photos. And Grant posted like all kinds of photos of Emmett Walsh throughout his career. But he's a character actor who had an unmistakable kind of a hangdog, big face.
Yep.
A booming voice,
yes.
And some of the movies that people know him from. Well, I mean, his very first movie was a character part in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore in Midnight Cowboy. And he never really quit working. He died yesterday of a heart attack 3 days before his 89th birthday. And he's in Mario Peebles' movie called Outlaw Cowboy, and I'm not sure if that's out yet or not, but the guy never stopped working. And Roger Ebert said about Emmett Walsh, mm-hmm. Michael Emmett, but he just used the initial. He said, if you knew that Emmett Walsh or Harry Dean Stanton was in a movie, you knew it had to be good, because those are the two best character actors Hollywood's ever had. And so anyway, I thought I'd share the story because where he really became known, he was just in a gazillion TV shows and movies, but where he really became known was when he got cast in Blood Simple. And he gave an interview talking about Blood Simple. And because he often played, prior to being in this, in these small parts, he often played a good old boy with bad intentions, something like that is a character. And he was that part in Blood Simple. But Joel and Ethan Coen said they wrote the part for him because they loved him so much in a movie that they saw him in called Straight Time. So he said he got a call. My agent called. He said, listen, I got a script written by these two kids for a low-budget movie. Mm-hmm. And he described it to The Guardian. He said it was kind of a Sydney Greenstreet kind of role with a Panama suit and a hat. And I thought it was kind of fun and interesting. They were 100 miles away in Austin. And Emmett was the foreman at the plant in Silkwood when Cher and Meryl Streep and Kurt Russell were filming like in New Mexico or whatever. It was close enough. So he's like, sure, I'll drive down and see what this Blood Simple thing is all about. And he said the filmmakers, you know, convinced him, we want to have you in it. So he was in the role. And he said they didn't even have enough money to fly him to New York City for the premiere.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Of Blood Simple. He said, but I saw it like 3 days later. It opened in L.A., and I was like, wow, these guys did a pretty good movie. And he said, and all of a sudden, my price went up 5 times.
Oh, that's
my
nice.
My agent was like, I'm going to get you more money. Nice. I was the guy everybody wanted. And in Blood Simple, and that's a great, the Coen Brothers' first film, epic movie. He plays this detective, Louis Visser, who is asked to trail a man's wife, then is paid to kill her and her lover.
Dang.
Yeah. And he's also the narrator of the movie.
Yeah, this is a big 94 Rotten Tomatoes. You can watch it right now on Max if you have Max.
Okay.
YouTube as well for the Prime, the big subscription. But otherwise, Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, it's available on Amazon Prime as well.
So. Yeah, and he got nominated for an Independent Spirit Awards, but he never went to like any red carpets or, you know, anything like that. He has over 100 film credits. And Rian Johnson, who directed him in Knives Out, mm-hmm. Paid tribute on social media. And he wrote, Emmett comes to every movie set with two things, a copy of his credits, which is a small type, single space, double column list of modern classics that filled a whole page, and $2 bills, which he passed out to the entire crew. He would say, don't spend it and you'll never be broke. Absolute legend.
Oh, that's amazing.
So anyway, he was just, I guess he was in The Jerk, and he kind of stole that movie, Brubaker, Ordinary People. Maybe in Brubaker, he was the prison warden, but it was really Blade Runner, but Blood Simple, where it was just like, and then Coen Brothers hired him for Raising Arizona, but he never quit working. And he said himself, he said to Time Magazine about his career, because he just really, he wasn't a good looking guy. You know, he was kind of this big guy, but he just said, yeah, I would just come in and set up something. And he worked with everybody, Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman. And he said, I would just be the guy who would get the story going.
Yeah.
The hard nose something or other. But anyway, he was also the prostate examining doctor in the original Fletch with Chevy Chase.
Great movie. TV credits, though, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he was in Tales from the Crypt for like 7 years. He was on the X-Files for the entire run of X-Files. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was also on, he had a role in Home Improvement. He played Colonel, he was Jill Taylor's dad. He played Colonel Fred Patterson. He was like a military guy.
Wow.
I mean,
he was in The Righteous Gemstones, too, which that is a hilarious show.
That
and Sneaky Pete.
Show. Yep, Sneaky Pete, he was in that. And Harry and the Hendersons, I don't know if anybody saw that movie with John Lithgow.
Of
he was
course.
The father of John in that movie. I mean, he's just, he hit every generation, like you said, from the beginning to the end.
He never stopped working. And Roger Friedman reported that too. He was just like, yeah, he was the guy everybody, if you needed a character to get the story to move from plot point, he was the guy. So anyway, 88, almost 89 years.
And just working till his last days. That's so amazing. I wonder if somebody like him ever thinks, or, I mean, maybe just he does so successful because he knows his role, but he's ever was like, I wish they would build a show around me. Or
no,
if he just
didn't
knows.
Care.
No. And why would you?
He didn't care at all. He just really, he said, I knew he had a mastoid operation when he was 3 and he was deaf in one ear. And even though he wanted to like be a stage actor or whatever, it's not, that wasn't going to be realistic. And, yeah, he was inducted into the like a Character Actor Hall of Fame by his buddy Harrison Ford, who was in with Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
And he at the ceremony, and this was in 2018, Emmett allowed that he was completely confused about Blade Runner as they were filming it.
I think most people would be while
and
you're
had
in
no
that.
Idea what the movie was really about or where it was going.
He showed up for his scenes, knocked him out of the park, and said, maybe if this thing makes it to the silver screen, I'll go watch it.
Yeah, and he also was really good at playing a villain who was oblivious to he was being a villain. And he was kind of, could be menacing, but yet... you know,
he had a scowl or like a,
I know
that you like that an anger look, but he could also have that joyous look too. I mean, you look at pictures of him smiling; he looks like a happy guy. But like you said, he could play that villain. He had that deep, strong voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read here that he had an episode of Little House on the Prairie in 1981.
I'm sure he played a bad man or some sheriff or somebody. Yeah. Some good old boy from a neighboring county that Pa had to put in his place.
Absolutely.
Put in his place.
But he once said about himself, he said, listen, I do believe in driving a movie forward. If you're casting something, you got 12 problems and you got me, you're only going to have 11 problems.
I love that.
Yeah. And he died. No survivors. I mean, he didn't. He
no
didn't,
kids or
no
anything?
No kids. No kid. And his Broadway debut was in 1969 with Al Pacino in a wonderful classic that we've never heard of called Does a Tiger Wear a Necktie? Gee, I don't know. It was, anyway.
Yeah, he's probably one of when it comes to his amount of work he's done well, he's probably been in the most movies that are successful than any other actor I've ever seen.
Yeah, and hockey fans will remember him because every hockey person that really, Slapshot, Paul Newman, 1977, he played the small town sports writer. Dickie Dunn.
It's on Patrick Royce.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, listen, when we come back, we've got some exciting travel TV news. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's Thursday, so that means we're all kicking up our heels about tomorrow, Friday.
Woody woo!
And I'm even kind of like, let it snow.
We haven't had
a snowstorm. We haven't been cozy.
Sunday is going to be the day to cozy up, watch a good movie. Because there's more snow coming tonight. We're just a little bit. Sunday is going to be the day, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, people are freaking the hell out about the snow. It's like, well, this is the first time we've had a winter of no winter, and you've forgotten. That's how quickly people forget.
I know. I know. I even found myself complaining that it was cold yesterday, and I went, "Oh, it's March, Brittany.
It's March." Yeah, but that's because it warmed up and then it reversed our minds.
I know.
You know, it did that whole thing. Okay, so good, not to talk about the weather, but let's talk a little TV. So House of the Dragon, which, I don't know, I feel like Grant and I, we wanted to like it more.
But it wasn't hitting hard for us. But we watched it.
But we watched it every week. We're like, and I just, like Game of Thrones, I just accept it. I'm not exactly sure how all these people fit together. I'm here for the spectacle, the sex, the boobs, the dragons, the fighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll figure out everything else later. But we've got trailers because it's coming back.
And I'm such a nerd for Game of Thrones and House of Dragons.
I read all these books.
Read them all. Love them. Okay. Obsessed.
All right. So Grant posted these. We've got HBO released two trailers of the game. And House of Dragons is a prequel to Game of Thrones.
Yes.
It's like 100 years, 200 years before.
It's way more than that because I think it's
600.
Like, yeah, it's something where it's not as simple as a granddaughter of Daenerys. Daenerys isn't a granddaughter. It's way back.
So they dropped two trailers, one called Team Black and one called Team Trailer. No, you're not going to be able to watch show you want. Team Green, excuse me. And Team Black, which we've posted, is Rhaenyra. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, and it's Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra. She and Prince Daemon, who's played by Matt Smith, their forces on Dragonstone. And the other one, Team Green, focuses on the King's Landing group. All I know is it's the two different camps that are kind of fighting.
Team Black is going to be the one who's the actual blood daughter of the king who died in the first series. And then the Team Green is the one who was married to the king when he died. And
That's right. So we see both trailers, and I have to say, they can do anything with the trailer and look like they really stepped it up.
But yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, I think we really got at the tail end of the House of Dragons. We started getting into the actual Dragon Wars, and I think that's what everybody, even in Game of Thrones, people wanted more dragons, and I think that was something we're going to have a lot of fun with this season.
I think so, too. Another thing we're going to have maybe fun with, Max released this trailer today. The show is going to be, I think it starts in April, and it's Conan O'Brien. It's got a travel show. And it's called Conan O'Brien Must Go.
It looks good.
The trailer shows him in all these different locales around the world. And we really haven't had, like, one of the things that Anthony Bourdain with his travel show is genuinely made you think about traveling somewhere that maybe you'd never thought of. He was so delighted. Oh. With the people.
Yeah.
Food, culture.
He was so genuine. Yes. There was nothing about like, this is his thing that he's doing because he wants to travel to this part of the world.
Yeah.
He really made you think like, I could go here. I could do that. Inspirational, aspirational, and
enjoyable. Even enjoyable. If you're not planning to travel, he was enjoyable to watch.
And so that's the vibe that you get when you watch Conan O'Brien Must Go, at least from this trailer. Travel Conan has always been a very good Conan. He's done those bits before where he would travel.
There's nothing better if you watch Conan O'Brien than just watching him
travel.
Even just go into the his own office. You just want to watch him interact with the world. He's so
perfect,
funny when he is interacting with anybody.
So the pitch of this show is that Conan goes to places he's been invited to by his fans.
Yeah.
And then he jumps off into larger adventures while visiting, highlighting those places. And, you know, Jordan Schlansky, the guy he always fights with.
Oh, yeah, his head producer.
So, like, in the trailer, we see him arguing with Jordan about the pronunciation of tango in Argentina. He discovers that his name is very unpopular in Ireland, and he hangs out with a snake on a boat in Thailand.
Oh, my God.
But the interactions with people and, you know, that hair, and he's just physically funny.
He's so awkward and also never awkward. Like, at the same time, I loved, so his relationship with his assistant, Sona, is, like, my favorite. And I used to watch when I remember one time she wanted to sell her car, and he was just in her car with her, looking at this old car, and he, like, at one point, she's like, yeah, I can't shut the sunglass holder. So he just ripped it out, and he goes, there, I fixed it. And she's like, Conan! And I love those skits, so I can't wait to see this.
I don't know. I think it looked really good. It looked really good. If you're excited, if you like a travel show, Conan O'Brien Must Go will be on Max, like, the second week of March. Or April, excuse me.
Yeah, that'll be definitely worth watching.
Within, like, the first 10 seconds of the trailer, he makes a joke going back to the shimmy from our first conversation. It just, he makes a funny joke about his private parts. I mean, this is just going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, I think so. Curb Your Enthusiasm, good news for Larry David and HBO. This past Sunday's episode jumped 133% in a key demo and 66% more viewers.
Wow.
And it's the highest of the seven episodes of this, its 12th and final season. And what happened? A huge comeback, because the previous Sunday that was sacrificed to the Oscars, that episode with Sienna Miller and Lori Loughlin.
Yes, which
making fun of her.
Her wanting to, she feeling like she deserves everything.
Yes.
Did you watch it when she's?
I haven't seen it. I'm behind.
Larry, just a quick little note. Larry does a favor for someone to get Lori into this private country club. And remember, Lori Loughlin was getting in trouble for getting her
daughter
into college.
So
the whole thing is about Larry. And then once he gets her in, the chaos that she creates, Lori does a great job of making fun of herself with this one.
And for her.
That will totally go, like, make everyone in Hollywood forget about her. I know she's going to keep doing her I Love the Heartland or whatever that show is.
But it was
that
good.
She does, but that is good. So there are only three new episodes left of Curb, and Richard Lewis is in the next one this Sunday. So far this season, Larry's been the butt of jokes about writing the lousy Seinfeld finale.
Which
he really did do.
Sure did.
Yeah. But what is so funny to me is that, I mean, Larry David, if you are a rich guy, you can be assured of your sex appeal to the day you die.
I know.
I mean, it is just unbelievable. He's got this swag, and I'm like, look at him. His hair is Bozo the Clown. It's sticking all over.
He is like a...
he's grouchy.
His clothes are like barely hanging on him, what he's wearing.
But yet, it's a cashmere sweater and a nice fitted pant, you know. Nothing objectionable, but he's got all this money in real life. And then on the show, and you just think, why am I feeling like, hi, Daddy, you know? And he's not our type.
But
I bet he gets chased a lot in Beverly Hills.
I know. And I bet you, too, the fact that he doesn't want you, like, the all the women make us chase him more.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's something about him. Do you like this season all in all, Grant?
I think it's great. I have never really not enjoyed a season of Curb. Yeah, I think that every season is in its own way funny. This one, the only thing I'm just having a hard time with is just like you said, there's three more episodes. So, like, I have these high expectations for something to be different. But you got to remember, this is Larry David. And yeah, he's just going to, like you said, he's got this attitude. He's going to throw it out there, like it or take it. And, yeah, no, I'm really liking this season. And with the Richard Lewis thing, too.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah. It's not. It's really nice to see him.
I went by the cemetery where Richard's buried.
Yeah, right over here.
It's over by the Connie Cup.
In Rosedale, right?
Yeah, but it's right, you know, the good little ice cream dairy. It's not a Dairy Queen. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was like, I go, oh, there's the Aaron. That's where Richard Lewis is.
Yeah, his wife is from St. Paul. She went to the U of M. And they made that agreement a long time ago that was going to happen.
And, you know, you do have these things, you do have these conversations with somebody when you get married.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes some families have a whole situation already laid out and ready where you okay to be buried here with me. And when you get married in your 50s, you're for sure going to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember the first time I heard about the natural burial. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Where, you know, it's just like you're kind of wrapped in burlap. And I mean, it's an earth to earth kind of a thing. It's a new thing, but it's not so new. But I remember my friend, she's like, I have to show you this picture of this. And she showed me this lady, like, wrapped in burlap, covered in flowers, like, laying in a hole in the ground. And I was like, what?
Hey.
What is happening to me right now?
Like you said, brings you closer to the earth.